And so a pastor asked me to share some things with you tonight. And so if you'll go to the book of Revelations, that last chapter of Revelations, he told me I had till about 9:30. So we'll try to get you out of here sometime before then. And praise the Lord. He asked me, pastor did, where I grew up. And I'm gonna share a little bit about my testimony with you tonight. So I grew up along I-10 there, in and out of bars the whole time growing up. I was never in a school for a year my whole school time. I went to the 2 weeks into the 10th grade and quit. I went to work in the pulpwood business in East Texas. And so then it was about that same time I started driving truck. And when I was 17, I heard the gospel for the first time on a CB radio. I was driving along and I heard a lady telling somebody how to accept Christ as their Savior, and I just turned the channel. Didn't want to hear that. And about 2 weeks later, I heard the same lady again telling somebody about the Bible and telling them how they could get saved. And again, I just turned the channel. It must have went on about a month later. I heard her again telling somebody else how to be saved. And that time, I just listened in. I just thought, well, I'll just hear what she's talking about. Because she mentioned something about not being afraid of death anymore. And all my life, I'd been afraid of death. And so it was just something that hung over me. I watched my brother-in-law die in the woods. Tree hit him in the chest and went up, broke his neck. And I watched the lights go out of his eyes right there while I held him in my arms. And so death really bothered me. And so when she began telling this fella that he didn't have to fear death after he got saved, well, that pricked my interest. And so then they got done talking, and I broke in on the radio, and I said, break 1-9 for that lady talking about Jesus. And she come back right away, and she said, yes. And so I said, I'd like to hear more about that. And I said, I'd like to know how I wouldn't have to fear death. And so she said, well, let me just tell you a story. And so she began to tell me about the Lord and about what he did on the cross. And then at the end of the conversation, she said, now, if you're really serious and you want to accept Christ as your Savior, she said, get off the radio. She said, and call me on a landline. And of course, back then you could do that and be safe. She gave me her phone number right out on the airwaves. And so I called her, and there in the hallway of my home with the phone cradled on my shoulder, I asked Jesus to save me. And what a blessing it's been all these years later. And I tell you all this to tell you that God uses everybody. Doesn't make any difference your walk of life or where you come from, who you are. I'm just an old pupwater from down in the piney woods of East Texas. And listen, I don't have any talents. I can remember when we got into church like this one, just believed the Bible, preached the Lord. I remember seeing people play the instruments. And Pastor, do you play instruments?
Play the radio.
Play the radio. Plays a mean radio. I was wondering, I've seen this, I think that's some sort of a harp, or that's an angel instrument. And I couldn't play the piano. I tried to play the guitar, you know, that seemed like the easiest thing to play. And so, my mom being a drummer, I had a certain amount of history around instruments. But I found out I just couldn't, it didn't translate. And I had some people say, well, you just got to practice. And so I practiced. Listen, I picked that thing up, I know, 100 times minimum. No exaggeration. Just could not get it. One guy said, well, you got to play until you get those calluses. And so, listen, I played the guitar till they bled, right? They were bleeding. And it just would not come. And so finally, I just realized, I cannot do this. I just have no musical talent. And so I asked my pastor, I said, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? You know, I don't have any talent. I can't play any instruments. I said, Pastor, I sing, the babies cry. You know, I mean, you don't want me singing. I'm just telling you. And so he told me, he said, Brother Holman, he said, one thing you can do, he said, you can be faithful. And you know, I found out something in the Bible. There's a verse there that says that when Jesus is coming, when he gets us, that we're gonna go to heaven, and he's going to say, when we stand before him, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful harp player. No, wait a minute, maybe it's piano player. Good and faithful singer. No. He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. I can do that. Amen. And so that's for this 30 some odd years now. That's just what we've been doing, is just try to be faithful. And the Bible talks about here in Revelations. I'll just real quickly tonight. I don't want to take up till that 9:30 hour. But we know that the end of all things is near, right? I think I'm in a crowd that would agree with that. That we just know that Jesus is about to wind this thing up. Amen. Back in the 80s, when I first started going to church, they talked about the Lord could come back as His return was imminent. I think is the word they used, that big word. I'm a ninth grade dropout, so I don't get those big words. But anyhow, imminent. That meant any time. I figured that one out. And so as I read my Bible, I would look and I would see things like, well, these two witnesses that die in the streets of Jerusalem and they're there for 3 days, 3 nights. You remember what it says there? It says that the whole world looks on them and rejoices. They're throwing a big party and everything. But in the 80s, it just didn't compute how that could actually happen real time. But folks, it could happen real time today. You could turn the TV on tonight and they could show you real time Jerusalem, right downtown Jerusalem. I mean, you could turn your phone on and do, what do they call that, where you... help me now. Stream, yeah. Whatever you call that. I don't know where it's going. But anyhow, real time. And so now when I read my Bible, listen, it's literally jumping off the page. Imminent return of Christ. That means something to me now. There's absolutely nothing today that would hinder God coming back. I heard an old preacher say one time, if God tarries. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, listen, I didn't want to correct you during the service, but nowhere in my Bible can I see where Jesus is just going to tarry. Amen? He's waiting on one thing, and that's for the Father to look over and say, we're done. Go get them. Go bring them home. How many of you we have any Jews in here tonight? Any Jews? No Jews? Okay. So by your testimony, you're all Gentiles. Amen? Listen, I tried to explain that to them on the reservation, and they don't hardly get that. You know, they want to be Indian, they want to be Mexican, they want to be white people. I said, listen, let me share you a verse. You're in Revelation 22. We're going to get there. I got to go till 9:30, so drop back to Revelation 5, all right? Revelation 5. It's probably my favorite verse in the Bible. Not just because I are one, but because God's not going to leave anybody out. Verse 9 says this, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That's my favorite verse in the Bible, because God, it just puts God where I can understand him. He's just like me. When he says, I'm going to save them out of every nation, it just means every nation. Amen. When he says every tongue, it just means every tongue. I praise God that he just speaks to us plain. Amen? And what a blessing it is when you can look in your Bible and you see things from beginning to end. I tell our folks all the time, our Indian folk, they're kind of timid and they kind of a little backwards. But I tell them, listen, you don't have to be afraid of that Bible. Amen? You take that Bible, it has stood the test of time. And it will be here until the final amen. All right? And so you can trust that book. And so when God says he's going to save them out of every tongue and every nation, every people, that's just what it means. That means that he's going to be faithful to do that. And so what a tremendous blessing tonight that we have that promise. And we have that promise from the beginning of the Bible to the end. You know, he talks about that that river of life. He talks about how that the Spirit of God moved on the waters in the very beginning, Genesis. He talks about it again in John chapter 4. He tells the woman at the well. Remember that story? How he told the woman at the well, if you'd have just knew who it was you was talking to, you could have asked of me. I'm just using home. You get my verbiage, all right? If you'd asked me, I'd have give you that living water. Amen? He talks about here in Revelations in chapter 22 there, verse 1. He said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, he said, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I see that tree of life, and we saw that tree of life way back in the beginning of your Bible, right back there in Genesis. You remember when God was telling Adam and Eve there they could eat of everything in the garden except what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Don't eat that one. Well, they did, and don't look at me like that. If it had been you, you would have done it. I mean, every one of us, amen, would have chose the wrong path. That's just what we do. And so, listen, I told a guy Sunday, he's at the end of his luck, and he just didn't know which way to turn. And so we end up, one of the fellows there got to lead him to Christ. And my admonition to him was, listen, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging. Amen. And he looked at me and big tears started running down his eyes. I said, you've dug enough. Stop. Well, I said, that's what I'm talking about. You need to get in that book and find out what God wants you to do and stop going your own way. Say amen. Amen. That's us. Praise God. Oh, we are stubborn people. We look at the children of Israel and all they went through and we say, man, you know, God really had a lot of patience. I look at my life today and I say, yes, God has a lot of patience. Oh my goodness, I ought to be dead many times over. I told my boy I was one of those 2x4 Christians. Amen? God just gotta slam me for me to get it sometimes. But here in that where that tree of life is, you know, there in Genesis where he talks about that, the Bible says that he drove out the man out of the garden, right? And then it says something very interesting. It says he puts at the entrance to the garden there, he puts, somebody tell me what, there's a angel there, isn't there? What's he got in his hands? You remember? Sword, flaming sword. And what's he doing there? He wants to keep God's people from the blessings of God, right? No. No, not at all. God wants you to have his blessings. There's no problem with that. God is showing his mercy in that he doesn't want you to get to the tree of life in the state that you're in. How many of you would like to live forever just in that body that you're in right now? Huh? I'm looking at some of you and I'm thinking, man, you don't want to be in that body. Me included. Amen? No, that's the mercy of God. Showing there that how much he loves us. Listen, I want to partake of that tree of life, but I want to do it in a glorified body. I don't want to do it in this body. Amen? And so that time is coming, and here he is in Revelation 22 telling us about this tree of life. And then he brings up something else in verse 3. And again, you can see this back in Genesis, but he says in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Praise God. I was telling them the other week there, I went down the hallway and I stubbed my toe. You know, have you ever done that where you just turn that toe plumb sideways? Anybody relate? I mean, I made up some words, amen? They didn't have those words in Christianity, but I made up a few. I don't know where they come from, but oh my goodness, I'm glad they weren't recorded. It's terrible. Man, no more curse. That means a lot to me. See, I've worked out in the timber. I've had trees hit me in the head and knock me cold. I've had trees fall on me and kick back and stab me in the eye. I mean, it's just, you know, I went the other week. I call it the other week. It's probably been months now. But I went and did that. I heard somebody mention cataract surgery. And I went into my eye doctor. I told him, Doc, I'm having problems. Just can't see. And I on the reservation, it's a little bit different. So anyway, I waited, you know, for a long time to get in to see him. Finally got in to see him. And he says, okay, he says, Mr. Holman, he says, so what we do is we watch you over a year, he said, and so we have it set up to where you come in every so often during this year and we see how it progresses. He said, but in your case, we're going to forego the year. He said, I don't know how you're even seeing. He said, you're blind. And I told him, I know, Doc, I can't even hunt. I go out and look for animals. I can't even see the trees. I mean, it was just crazy. I couldn't hardly see. So I went and had that cataract surgery. My goodness, when I went home, they did the first eye. And when I went home, listen, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I had to pull over to the side of the road. I was having church. I mean, it was amazing that I could see street signs and read them again. What a tremendous blessing. Instead of going by memory, you know, well, that's a yield sign. Oh, I could actually read yield. What a tremendous blessing. So I went hunting this year. Oh my goodness, I was hunting again. I could see animals. I could shoot animals. I know some of you might be vegans, and that's all right. I'm sorry. But what a tremendous blessing to be able to put a simple thing, but just put a fishing line through a hook and tie it. Oh, my goodness. I pulled over and had church. No more curse. What a tremendous blessing. Well, folks, I want to get to somewhere real quick. If you'll go with me, I'm going to forego the rest of that chapter. But I just want you to understand something. God is getting ready to wind this thing up. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. He says, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And he makes this statement, my reward is with me. Now, I know some of you, you're probably a lot more spiritual than I am. You know, you say, well, I just want to look on his face and I just can't wait to see Jesus and all of that. And what a tremendous blessing that is. And I agree with that, except it's more than that to me. Because I'm waiting on that reward. You say, oh, Brother Holman, you're looking for the money, you know, the gold and the silver. No, there's a reward I'm waiting on. And it's when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That'll be my reward. I don't need a crown. I don't need streets of gold. I don't need any silver. I just want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I have 9 grandkids. One of my prayers is that I would never be an embarrassment to my grandchildren. Preacher, that'll stick with you. I don't want to be an embarrassment to my church, my grandchildren, my wife. I want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, folks, if I could tonight say, how many of you are ready for heaven? Probably just about everybody in this building, raise your hand. But let me get somewhere. Look down with me, if you will. I'm going to, again, skip some more of this. Verse 14, he says, blessed are they that do. Does your Bible have that little two-letter word there, D-O? That do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You get all the way over to verse 17. Verse 16, he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Is your Bible in there? Wait a minute, there's one more word in it. It's the last amen. That's what I'm waiting on, is that last amen. You know, I told a church recently that if you get caught up in a rapture, I believe we're looking for that. That's the next thing I think we're waiting on, is that rapture. If you get caught up in the rapture and you're one of these quiet people and you hear a lot of noise coming from the northwest, that'll probably be me. Listen, I'm ready to go. Amen. I mean, I'm just ready to get up there and start eternity and get out of this sinful place that we've been in for all of these years. I'm a first generation Christian. And so a lot of this stuff is brand new to me. It's incredible to me that God would save me, number one. It's incredible to me that God would then use me, number two. I have no talent. I told you, Liz, I can't play the guitar at all. but I can be faithful. Your preacher needs some folks that are faithful. I'm so glad you're here on a Wednesday night. This shows that you've got something going in the right direction, that you're faithful. But let me encourage you, folks. I realize tonight, again, I could say how many of you are ready to go to heaven tonight, and you'd say, yep, that's me, I'm ready to go. But are you going to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will he say something else? Will he admonish you for maybe not as faithful as you could have been? For maybe pulling back? You know, we're getting up here close to the end, and many Christians in and around the country want to pull back. We've been in some churches lately, preacher, just coming down here to be with you guys. We visited some of our churches, and I'll be honest with you. The church we were in Sunday, I'd like to be part of that church. Church like this one where people smile, that's a blessing. We were in some churches that, oh my goodness, it's like pulling teeth just to get folks to smile. And then not faithful, just not faithful. God's looking for faithful folks. I'm ready to hear that last amen. And I pray tonight that you are too. So I'm going to encourage you just for a minute. Don't pull back. Don't wait on somebody else to do something. You get back in there. You pull your elbows back in and you get busy again. Listen, I'm 60 years old now. I've been married 40 years to my first wife. Praise God for that. 60 years old, things are hurting. You know, I get up in the morning and I understand. I get it. You know why old people are grumpy and old? It's because they hurt. I broke horses for a lot of years. And I land on my head and land on my shoulders. And boy, now I sleep on this side and maybe about 10 minutes and I got to flop and sleep on this side. You know, and then flop back and sleep on that side for a while. Stuff hurts. You know, I got stuff hurting I never even knew I had. Amen? I get up in the morning, I sound like that breakfast cereal. Snap, crackle, pop. Walking across the floor. Click, 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 click. I'm like, what is that? I'm ready to go for that new body. But wait a minute. Am I ready to go to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? So I determined that instead of letting up, I'm going to just bear down. Instead of pulling back and letting somebody else do it, I'm just going to get in for one more push. And I just want to encourage you, I may not get back by here. And I probably slaughtered this chapter. Your pastor will fix it. Amen? I'm only here for just a little while, but I just want to encourage you to get back in for one more shot. Just tie back up to the wagon and let's just pull it across the finish line. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, I just want to get into heaven and everything's going to be wonderful. No, I want to slide in a big cloud of dust. Amen. That's the way I want to get there. I want to have them doing this, getting out of the way. Wouldn't you rather get there like that? Hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not sure what the other side of that would be. But I don't even want to hear it. I had somebody tell me one time, I said, preacher, what does that whoa mean when God says whoa? I said, I don't know, but it don't sound good. Amen. I'm not Bible scholar enough to figure out what that whoa means, but I am Bible scholar enough to figure out I don't want no part of it. Amen. That's how deep my theology goes. I just want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How many of you would like to hear him say that? Praise God. Let's bow in prayer, would you? Pastor, you come.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the convicting and refreshing words we've heard tonight. And thank you, Lord, for reminding us that of all the things that it's required of a steward, it's required that we may be found faithful. And all of us can be. Thank you, Lord, for a lady many, many decades ago who just got on a CB radio and looked at something that I'm sure she was ridiculed for by family members and people around her. She's wasting her time. And she just, as best she could in the way that she did, gave your word and the gospel to anyone who would listen on a radio. not knowing that one day one might be a missionary or maybe more. And may it remind us, Father, that you can use all of us in this room and any of us in this room, and that all you require of us is that we be faithful. May this church be faithful. And Lord, I pray for the Holmans as they take a long journey home, that you'll continue to bless them and use them on that journey and also protect them. And I pray for the fellowship of your people now. May it be refreshing and encouraging. And may it be Christ-honoring in all that we say and do. We give you praise. And we say as well, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.